the IDN expectations. We also delivered on the Who Is roadmap. The Who Is initiative has so many different pieces to it that we've been asked by a lot of different sides to provide some clarity on what are all the all these different moving parts there. So we put a roadmap that covers all of the different pieces. It's available on the website, and you can actually look at that. We shared it with the GAC, who was actually asking for this, and hopefully it provides necessary clarity to our work there. We also published the final report on Who Is accuracy reporting and the system pilot. It's also available for public comment right now. Please do provide your comments there. This is a pilot that we hope to actually use for looking at Who Is accuracy as signed in the new GTLD program by all the new GTLD new top-level domain registries, and we will do it every 6 months as requested by the GAC advice that we put in the contracts, and we will use that to monitor the improvements of the Who Is records. And we created a community working group to ramp up efforts on universal acceptance of TLDs. You should, we'll talk more about that as well. So what are we trying to achieve in Singapore? We have a lot of different sessions, that open sessions, and then we have some other closed sessions for working groups to make progress on certain areas. But again, I don't want to read every bullet that's there. It's important to look at the different sessions that we have. One of the highlighted sessions here is the GTLD technical operations lessons. I think that's very important for the operators to attend. There are a lot of things to discuss, and for us to be to make sure that we're on the same page, and to learn from what we've done and how we've done it, and make sure that we get your advice also on these issues. In the IANA functions, we are providing a who, what, why. We're trying to educate a lot of the attendees at ICANN meetings on what IANA functions are and what we do. And I think that's we did that last ICANN meeting, and it was very successful. So we're doing it again this meeting as well. In the industry engagement section. Of course, we're pushing forward all of our work with the contracted parties, but very importantly is our thick Who Is implementation. We have a meeting to hopefully close the gap on some of the different understandings of the way to do the thick Who Is, but also other aspects we're going to address also other aspects of Who Is as well in that meeting. So please do attend and participate. On the new GTLD program, we'll have a status update, and we will talk about both the program itself and the application progress, but a big section will be on the reviews and the next round and where we are and what needs to be done to get there. So as I mentioned, Karen Lentz and her team have done also an exceptional job in this area, and the website has a lot of information now on the progress of the reviews. In the operations area, we have, as usual, we have the GDD information booth. It's a place for you to go and schedule meetings with our operational team, our engagement team, so basically our subject matter experts. So if you have any question on any requests that you're dealing with GDD, please go ahead, schedule a time. We will meet with you, go over the issues, understand your your point of view and make sure that we make progress on any of the tickets that you have in the system. We have also a session on Eros. Eros is actually a platform that we developed at the request of the registries and the registrars. Just for everybody's information, we had a lot more registrars than we had registries. With the new GTLD program, there are going to be more registries than there are registrars, or roughly the same number. Making sure that you have attention of your opposite party. So if you're a registry and you need to contract with some registrars to sell your domains, or vice versa, if you're a registrar and you want to represent some registries, it becomes much more difficult to get together and work. And this platform is supposed to eventually help both parties get their contracts with each other signed and documented in a fairly easy way and sustainable way. So we're doing a session on that. So please join and give us your feedback so that we can improve the tool and make it what everybody expects it to be. Also, we have the GDD Portal User Group Workshop, which is where you tell us improvements on the portal that you would like to see and how the features are working for you or what else we need, and also the prioritization, hopefully, of what needs to come next and all of that. So please do attend and participate in that. Who is roadmap with the community? This is the all things who is. I think it already happened, but I'm not sure, but no. So it will be next. So please do attend. There is a lot of work on who is, and I think it's, I mentioned that and I kind of almost had my head chopped off for it, but we want to make sure, I know there are a lot of things that are in the who is that we need to do. But also, it's not smart to do things, and before we get to operationalize some features, we have new features that have to be added or replaced. So we need to line up things in a way that makes sense to put the resources of the community or the contracted parties on. So if we're going to ask them to do a thick who is, we shouldn't ask them to do a thick who is, and then a month before they launch their thick who is, we come up and we ask them to do something different. So we have to line it up, make sure that it all happens and that we get benefits from all the work that they do. No other business operates in a vacuum, so we need to make sure that we take all of that input and line up things the right way. Who is clarifications? This is something that we put out. I think we're down to clarify the requirements on what we want to see in the who is displays. And I think we're down to a couple of different items that we need to close the gap on. Hopefully we can do that this meeting and move on to implementation on that. And then on universal acceptance, I think that we're seeing a lot of engagement from the community. There is a session on that that we will update the community on our progress there. It seems the enthusiasm is very high, so I encourage you to pile up on this and make sure that we keep the ball rolling and we keep the enthusiasm growing on getting these things done. The IDN program update, as I mentioned earlier, that's a good session to know where we are in that. The Root Zone LGR workshop is also a good, I would say, technical workshop for people who are interested in more of the details to participate in. But a lot of progress is being made on the IDN side, and hopefully that will we'll see the fruits of this of all this work that the team is putting very soon. Now, very important is to set a record, on what we're promising and what we're going to deliver on, and check against that record the next time we're together. So what I'm trying to achieve here is I'm trying to put a few deliverables that we are going to be working on. It's not everything that we're working on, but it is some of the stuff that we're working on that we want you to have visibility to. And I welcome any input on either some things that we're working on that are maybe should be lower priorities, some things that we should be working on that we're not, that you don't see on those slides, or that things that needs to be higher priority than we are forecasting them to be. I think that's very critical for having a good relationship where we are working on things that you need us to work on and not what we think we should be working on. And so I'll go over a few of these, and I will open it up for Q&A afterwards. So on the SSR and the technical area, we will publish our biannual SSR activity report before we get to Buenos Aires. You see the list, so we're going to do the DNS risk framework. We have a framework that's been developed. We are looking at the mitigations that we're going to put in place on that, and we're working with the community on this, so we'll provide more information on that. We will initiate development of revised advice registry system. We get a lot of advice, and we don't have a repository to track the progress on that. So we're working on this. We're hoping to start development of a tool that we will be able to track things through and get back to the community on our progress there. We are working with the RSAC leadership on enhancing the root server system, we should be able to show a lot of progress before Buenos Aires, and we have some initiatives in that field as well. We have the technical expert group. We're working with them on formalizing their role and what is expected from them. They're going to be looking mostly at the future of the DNS and the things that we should be working on for security and stability as well as technical areas in our role. And we will continue to the implementation of the RZM modifications or planning for the modifications in the scenarios of the absence of NTIA in that process. Now, we haven't had any recommendations from all the different working groups that are working on the transition, but we believe that in the next trimester we should see some recommendations there, and based on that we will do some development on the different scenarios to make sure that we are prepared for the transition. And we will deliver the draft of the plan to change the root key signing key. We're working with our partners on that, and hopefully we'll be able to deliver the plan there. On the IANA functions, of course, we'll continue to deliver service as expected, so our SLAs. We'll be refreshing the cryptographic devices for the key signing ceremonies. This is overdue, and we need to get that done over the next trimester. I know that I already ordered the HSMs, so I signed at least the PO. So next trimester, hopefully, we'll be upgrading those. We will publish the 2014 SysTrust audit report, we will be announcing the plan to solicit candidates for the TCRs, for the key signing ceremonies. We had a couple of resignations. We need to replenish the TCRs, and there are some requests on to change the way we handle these volunteers and maybe participate in their offsetting some of their costs of travel and the like. So we're going to come up with a plan and put it together and deliver it next trimester. So as you can see, you know, there are a lot of things that happen in the background that not everybody, you know, is involved in. But it's important to know that all of this work, this team that you see, does a lot more work than what you actually see yourselves. On the industry engagement side, I mentioned to some of the registries and registrars that we are planning to put an intersessional between every two ICANN meetings, so three intersessionals a year. We're hoping to make these intersessionals working sessions with the contracted parties. We know that the ICANN meetings have a lot of distractions from, you know, transitions, policy development, business issues, you know, all sorts of work that happens all together. And then this work is so important, then when somebody wants to do their business at the ICANN meetings, it distracts them from participating and volunteering into the work that that we need them to participate in for the long term and for improving our policies and our processes. So we're going to provide this opportunity as an intersessional for more focus on the business. And the business meaning not only ICANN staff coming and doing presentations. We're going to work with you on developing these intersessionals so that we get you what you need, whether it's engagement with the operational folks, whether it's presentations from us, whether it's presentations from you on your needs, whether it's you meeting with each other. We're going to facilitate that if that's needed. So the idea is to make it really focused on the contracted parties for engagement and for working together and getting their a lot of the issues resolved there, so that we have more oxygen in the ICANN meetings for PDPs and policies and policy developments and the other issues that ICANN is the ICANN meetings are a center for. And I hope that actually we will harden these meetings and they'll become essential meetings where we get a lot of our business done, and you'll appreciate them. So I want really you to participate in this, in the definition of the meetings, to get the most out of them. We hope to complete the Spec 11 security framework. I think we've made a lot of progress. We have meetings here on this, so hopefully we will be able to finalize this. The full launch of the AROS in the next trimester. We will launch the registrar training program on learnican.org. We will also address registrar accreditation agreement insurance. So we have some work being done on that. It seems that the insurance program and requirement is not what it was supposed to be. So we are working with you on improving that and addressing this issue. We will publish educational documents for current and prospective registrars. We've had a lot of additional registrar applications in the past 6 months, and I think that we need to refresh these things and work with the new entrants to make sure that they have all of everything that they need to be a good exemplary registrar. We'll also release an API for service level agreement on the data access in near term. Okay? In the new GTLD program, we have put in some milestones on contracting as well as on delegation. And the reason for that is to provide everybody the ability to get to their deadlines successfully. So we're not trying to rush you through these things, but we're giving you a template that tells you, you know, if you finish this within this time, then you have this much time to get the next step and the next step so that you can get the contract signed on time as well as get delegated on time. So these interim milestones are guidelines and posts that show us that you are working in goodwill to get these things done, and that we hold your hand if you need to get through the process successfully and on time. We also plan to resolve 85% of the contention sets. I think that most of the scheduled auctions will fall within the next trimester. There are some contention sets that are held back because of accountability mechanisms or other issues. So these we might not be able to get them done in the next trimester, but we should be able to finish all of the scheduled auctions by then. We will continue to work with the NGPC to address remaining GAC advice on new GTLDs. We want to get that behind us as soon as possible. I know you guys don't want to see this done as well, but we want to be careful and do it in the right way. So our goal is to address these issues before we get to Buenos Aires. And I think we're almost there, but it's important to set the goal and make sure we deliver on it. We will publish the program implementation reviews reports for comment. As we mentioned earlier, there is a lot of progress there, and so we want to publish the report so you can comment on it. We will launch trademark clearinghouse independent review and the route stability review, as well as the economic study. So a lot of work on the reviews will kick start in the next trimester, and we want to complete the right protection review report, including the public comment period. So all of that will be done next trimester. On the operational side, we will launch the global customer service capability with staff in Singapore and Istanbul. This is very important. It's something new that we're doing. We will be able to you will be able to reach ICANN operations through phone lines, just like you are today, do that through the ticketing process online. You'll be able to pick up a phone and call a customer service rep that will actually provide you with answers. And if they cannot, they will provide you with the right place to go to get your questions answered and get your business done with ICANN. And this will be operating 24/5, which means follow the sun model in 5 business days across the world. I know that some people would feel Saturday and Sunday are business, in some areas Saturday and Sunday are business days, but we will not be able to cover that in this first rollout. We will, of course, meet or exceed our service target levels. We will conduct customer satisfaction surveys, also provide you an opportunity to give us some feedback on how we're doing. We're implementing a lot of case management improvements, and we're deploying CRM enhancement to optimize service delivery. So a lot of work on the IT side for the systems and the tools that you guys are using. Hopefully, we're trying to consolidate a lot of different tools, and you'll see some deliverables in the next trimester, and I hope that we will continue to enhance these things and get you to the place that you expect us to be in as quickly as possible. And again, as I mentioned, we will launch the process for registry operators to adjust COI amounts in line with registration levels. On the initiative side, we will seed the new generation panels for additional script communities. We will release the label generation rules for root zone. Open source LGR tool, we will begin developing that to assist with label validation and determining variants. This is very critical for a lot of the applicants that want to see the variant rules implemented. And once we do this, then we're gonna start hopefully talking about how do we do a variant and what's allowed and what's not allowed with the community, and we will engage with everybody on how to make that happen. But these are very important fundamental pieces to the puzzle that we need to have in place before we get there. Also, we launched the implementation of the advisory group for forwarding inaccurate tourist reports to restaurants. One of the things we signed up to in the GAC advice was that we will do a scan of who is records, or statistical scan of who is records on a periodic basis. We also, in the ATRT too, it's important for everybody to know, they were requesting that we do the same thing. So we said, instead of actually doing two different things, let's combine the two and get them together. So we have a pilot that we ran. I think we did about 100,000 different who is records. We took these and we analyzed them, and that's a report that you're seeing right now, and it's open for public comments. We will plan to do that twice a year, do two statistical samples of who is, and establish a trend of looking at the who is accuracy over time. So that once we do these samples, when we find inaccurate records, we want to make sure that we prepare our registrars to receive the inaccurate records and handling them. So we want to work with the registrars on how they want us to give them those records and how to they will handle them. Because if we're going to sample between twice a year, we could send them the records over time between the two samples, but we definitely want to send them all the bad records. It's just that we don't want to overwhelm their systems, but we do want to get to these records corrected. So that would be something that we want to work with the advisory group on defining how to do and make sure that everybody's ready for it. We will conclude ongoing who is related implementation matters. That's a very wishful thinking, but we hope to. We will initiate community dialogue on ICANN related privacy issues. This is a topic that I think is becoming very important for all of us. A lot of people say, why isn't this done? Why don't you just get some lawyer to give us a description of what is happening, and then we can decide how to go from there. This is like moving sand. You know, every time you look at the laws on privacy and stuff, they're shifting, they're changing. And we are in a period now where it's becoming very, because of all of the cybersecurity issues and all the you hear about, you know, the leaks, and I just received on my email that our health provider was actually breached, and all of the millions of patients and subscribers information is at risk. So this is becoming very important for a lot of law enforcement, not law enforcement, but a lot of governments and countries, and they are focusing on that, and they're coming out with laws for protecting the consumers, and we need to stay on top of that, because it does affect us whether we like it or not, and we want to make sure that we don't fall behind and then leave it up to our registrar and registries to carry the burden on their own. So we need to work with them and try to figure out how to move forward and get this in a place where we can all navigate it, and it's actually manageable. So I think it's going to become it's garnering a lot of focus from everybody, and I think we need to work together on that and try to get to a place where we are all comfortable with. We'll also conclude the implementation on RTPC, and we initiate the implementation on RTPD. I think RTP is inter-registrar transfer policies, and these are different rules that they're already adopted, but we're starting to implement them now, and we need to get those to done. So that's my report. I hope I didn't bore you too much with a lot of details, and it was informative. And I'll get, please, if you have feedback and you'd like to see this update change or have different pieces in it that were not covered, or more details or less details, please do not hesitate to let me know. Now we'll open it up for questions. If you have any questions, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Amadeu Abril from CORE. Thanks a lot for the update. No, it was more or less what we expected. And thanks for all the progress. I have just two petitions for two small additions. One small, one not that small. The small one, and I apologize for repeating that, for 1 year and a half, we've been asking IANA to publish in its page where is the root zone database, right, with all the TLDs. The TLDs that are, you know, from right to left scripts, like Arabic script or Hebrew script, in the correct way. They display with a dot in the wrong side. So it's not .bazaar, .shabaka, .mizir, .emirate, but emirate dot, mizir dot, shabaka dot, bazaar dot. It's very ugly. But on top of that, it's very difficult to explain people that this exists and works, show them, you know, no, this is not a fake, you know, TLDs in Arabic script exist. They go there and say, oh, even the entity that manages that is unable to use them correctly. So why should I, right? So I think it's very simple. IANA told us this is not them, this is communications. And apparently with a different department, things are over and nobody's responsible. So I don't know what to do. I don't think this is for the ombudsman. But for 1 year and a half, we've been writing IANA, writing communications, saying that in the public forum. I think you understand what I mean by, you know, incorrect displaying of the dot in the wrong side. So please tell someone to fix it 1 year and a half later. Now, the second
question. Can I answer this very quickly? Yes. Please send me the link of the web page that you're talking about, because there are a lot of different places that this information is present. If you could send me the link where this information is incorrect, I'll make sure it gets corrected.
Do you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the second one is regarding WHOIS, right? And it's also an old request regarding WHOIS output for the European-based TLDs. Maybe others, but the European Union TLDs have this concrete problem of the local laws telling them one way or another that displaying personal data from individuals not carrying out commercial activities with the domain names shouldn't be allowed, shouldn't be there. Now, we propose in January 2013 to ICANN to have a common approach to solve that, both on how to prove that this is the law and to agree on a possible solution. We've been doing something similar for the registrars on the waiver. Indeed, there was individual different to countries, but trying to get a sort of common approach to that. Now, the last thing we were told over 1 year ago is, well, this is not very high on the agenda. One day there will be a process for that. But we advise you, if you want this, to go one by one through RCEP, the Register Services Evaluation Procedure. Now, well, our problem here is that if you check, this happened back in the years with CAT, TEL, and NAME, and the three solutions are completely different. We believe that having different solutions for 100 different TLDs in Europe with different, completely different outputs is not the best one, and I still encourage ICANN to put that again on the table and to accept negotiating with the GTLDs and with the European TLDs together a way to prove what's the state of the law and, you know, to agree on what should be a workable solution for not publishing this data. You know, just saying, well, you know, there's a reform for who is going forever. Now many of them are in GA, and it becomes pressing, and data authorities are getting interested in that, and, you know, we will get letters one day over the table and be forced to do strange things with who is, but in a disparate way. I think that working together is better. Thanks.
Thank you. We are looking into this. We are working very hard on that, but I hope that you appreciate how hard of a problem that is. We will continue to make progress, I hope, but we will focus our work with the legal team on trying to figure out a plan that we will be able to share with you, at least in Buenos Aires, on what we can and cannot do, and what's our framework to getting what we can do done. Okay?
Thanks, Akram. It's Brett Fawcett. That was very helpful. I actually have three questions, all on the WHOIS accuracy stuff. On the pilot project, I looked at the report, and I didn't think that they published the underlying data. So I would be curious, actually, to see my data. You know, so clearly they must have captured some uniregistry data along the way. I'd be curious to see, you know, how we fared and maybe, you know, start my own work behind the scenes before it becomes a compliance issue about how to do that.
Can I ask a quick question on that? You would like to see your own data privately, I take it, not publicly.
Correct. And actually, it leads into my second question. During the presentation, you mentioned that there was going to be a compliance program that was going to start in January of 2015 that was working behind that. I'm not sure I heard that correctly. You're looking at me like I didn't get that right. So maybe you could clarify what the compliance piece is that's going to trail behind the WHOIS accuracy study.
So basically, what we're going to do with the data when we do statistical sampling of the WHOIS records, we're going to get those records, and then the ones that show that there is that they're not accurate, we're going to send them to the compliance, just like an outside party would actually send them to compliance, and then compliance would actually check those records, and if they deem them to be inaccurate per the agreement, then they will forward them to the registrars. So it's not that we're initiating a compliance initiative, is just that we're going to use the data that we operationally get and then do what everybody else would do with an inaccurate record, is feed it to compliance.
And that's starting, has that already started?
No, the group is supposed to meet to define how do we do that, so that we don't overwhelm the systems when we're going to do it twice a year. Maybe we can actually spread them out, or I don't know, but the working group should be able to define how to do that.
Okay, and then my third question, since I've already asked two questions on WHOIS, obviously I'm interested in the implementation advisory group for that. How do we get somebody on that team? The WHOIS implementation advisory group. That I think it was on one of the more recent slides toward the end that you said was going to get started here in the nearish time period.
So there is a session on that, but you should be able to join the team. I don't see what the issue there is.
Yeah, may I? Yeah, Brett, hi. This is Cyrus Namazi with ICANN. There actually is a team already formed. They've met twice, but if you see me offline, I'll be happy to actually put you in touch with the right people. There's also a session dedicated to all things WHOIS, where the details of this will also be presented. Karen, what time is it that session? It's right after this one, I think. Yeah, 3:30. Two. Sold. It's today.
Yep. Hey, Akram, it's Jim Prendergast. Lots of stuff to process in that presentation, so thanks for that. I'll ask, on the two-character issue, out of curiosity, why is it kicked to the full board and not to the NGPC? On the two-character issue, it went to...
The minute that you become a registry, then any issue that's a registry issue is no longer an NGPC, handled by the NGPC, just because you're contracted and therefore, you know, it's an RCEP request and all of that. If it was before you became a contracted party, then those issues will be addressed by the NGPC.
Kathy Kleiman, Fletcher Hilden Hildreth. I had a question also about WHOIS, following up with Brett. When you're looking at WHOIS accuracy, what is the standard that you're doing the study with? So there are two ways to look at it. Are you looking at the accuracy of all the fields in WHOIS, or are you looking at the accuracy of some of the fields? So the standard is all accurate or contactability. And contactability means that somehow the registrant is reachable. Contactability was the standard in the 2013 RAA. Contactability was also the standard adopted by the WHOIS review team, that as long as the registrant is reachable, there are legitimate reasons why the registrant doesn't publish, say, an address. We've already heard about that from Amadeo. So what is the standard you're using in these studies? Thank you.
So I think that the pilot was addressing the WHOIS review team's recommendations. And they had some different levels of accuracy that they were were defined, and they are in the document. So if you look at them, you'll see that. That's why we did not want to take these records that are deemed inaccurate by the study and send them to the registrars directly. We wanted to take those and send them to compliance, because compliance will actually check if these records are compliant or not, and then they will forward the ones that are not compliant to the registrars. So now it's important to differentiate between the RAA requirements and what we can do when we check. At the time of registration, you could test contactability differently than what you can do post-registration. Because if you're trying to register a domain, you send an email. If they want to register the domain, they'll have to reply. So you're going to get accurate representation if the email works or not. When you're doing post-check, I might think it's spam. I might not reply to it. So does that actually define a bad whois record? I don't know. So then it's a little bit difficult, and we're working through these details, and some of these issues will be teased out through the working group that is working on that, and hopefully we can get to a point where we don't just represent information that's very confusing. We're trying to line up all the requirements with what's contractual, with the contractual obligations, so that we define things in layers, which means they meet the contractual obligations or they don't, and then the next layer is a higher level than what's contractually what the contractual obligations cover, and then the third one is, you know, we're knocking on doors. I don't know, but it's, we're trying to tier it and get the contract obligations and what we're studying to be aligned, so that we're not addressing issues that have no meaningful way to be addressed through the contract. Okay, thanks.
Do you want three guesses on the topic? Donna Austin for the record. So, Akram, just in relation to the two character labels, and you said that you hope you'll have a decision from the board meeting this week. Can you give us some insight into the process? I mean, it might help us, you know, have a better understanding of how these things are managed when you receive a communication from the GAC, or, you know, maybe other experience as well, because we don't have much visibility into the process. So if you can give us some insight, that would be great.
So I don't remember the resolution exactly by the board, but I think the resolution was instructing staff to work, to develop a process to do the two characters in line with the GAC advice or something along these lines. So we developed the process. We thought we were in actually complying with the GAC advice or lack of the GAC advice. But we took the process based on letters received from the GAC, and we put the process together in compliance with that. And we started processing some of the requests. And then we received a letter from the GAC saying, wait a minute, that's not what we meant, or that's not what we wanted. And they had a list of requirements. So on the stuff that is clarifications or some visibility to what's happening when and stuff, we're starting to work on those already. But when they said that basically that's not what they wanted, we felt like we need to stop, get with the board, because the resolution was to actually work in line with the GAC advice. When the GAC came back and said that's not what we expected, or we needed more information or something like that, we felt like we need to stop. It was actually the prudent thing to do. We met with the board, and the board agreed that we should wait till they provide us, they look into the matter and deliberate and decide what the next step is. I think that it's on the agenda for Wednesday. We're providing them with the paper on all of the details. And I think that once they meet, hopefully we'll be able to, relaunch the program with some of the adjustments. But I cannot give you an answer until they meet and deliberate.
So it's your expectation that the process is going to change?
My expectation, if I had a crystal ball, I would say there are some low-hanging fruit in the requests of the GAC. They wanted to have some visibility on which characters are, which TLD is changing what, or something along these lines. I don't have the details. So some of the simple stuff, because what we did is to get things moving very quickly. We bundled a lot of the requests and put them together and moved them forward. And that was very hard for them, I think, to parse out and know what's going on. So we might be able to do it in a more deliberate, more a clearer way that they will be, it would be more transparent to them. So that's something that I think we can do, we can improve on and move quickly on. But there are some other issues that they're asking for that we need to get the board to deliberate and provide us advice on, provide us direction on.
So maybe I'll leave this until after we have the board resolution, but I would hope that we're not changing the process and that there's anything that is retrospective action for the registry operators, given that it's been some considerable period of time now. Thanks.
I agree. Thank you.
Hey, Akram. It's Jordan Buchanan with Google. I thought I had another question, but you're... interaction with Donna inspired me to go back and take a look at the board resolution from Los Angeles. And it does, you're right that it does refer to GAC advice, but it also says specifically take into account the GAC's advice in the Los Angeles communique, which you had received and which I understand you developed the procedure that you had put out and that many of us attempted to follow. So I guess I'm just curious as to why you think that non-Los Angeles communique advice had to be considered when you had already done what the board told you to, which was to develop a procedure taking into account the advice in Los Angeles, and which everyone in the community, I think, had expected that that was the procedure that we would be following from this point going forward.
So I agree with you that we thought we met the requirements of the GAC communique when we developed the process. So that's not the debatable issue. The issue is that they came back and they said, well, that's not what we had in mind. So that basically puts into question whether our interpretation of what they had in mind was right or wrong, and therefore we needed to get to the board to provide us direction on that.
All right, I'll ask my other question. So I noticed that one of the things you expect to happen in the future is the launch of Eros. And I guess, reflecting on Eros, it seemed like a really awesome idea and would have been really useful about 18 months ago, probably. But I guess I'm wondering, do you guys do ongoing consultation with prospective users of Eros to get an understanding of whether it is likely to still be useful given the delayed timeline under which it's being deployed? And I guess in my opinion, it probably isn't at this point. People have already figured out how to do onboarding without Eros. And I guess I'm just wondering, how do you guys take stock of whether this is still needed by the community and whether it still makes sense for ICANN to be investing resources into it at this point?
So I think there is a working group around Eros that is formed by the communities of users that defines what they want to see and how, and the usability of it. But my perspective is that if it's done well, it could be used forever, because there's always changes that you do between your registrars and the registry contracts, and there are always new registrars, there's always new registries, so I don't think we should be, if we can get to something that's useful, I don't know if that's actually going to be unused. If I'm reading you, you think that we've passed the time. We've only delegated 500 registries. So there's another 800 coming online. So there is still time for more people to use that. And like I said, in the past 6 months, we've had, I think, over 500 applications for registrars, new registrars. So this is not going to be, you know, I agree with you that the peak, maybe we're at the peak now, and if it's going to be later, maybe it's not going to be as useful as if it was developed earlier, but I think it'd still be used.
So maybe I'll express my question more generally, which is just what's the process by which we, the community, is consulting with the GDD in order to sort of understand and help evaluate your priorities? Because, you know, I think it is certainly possible that Eros is going to be useful for one or more people. The question is, there's an opportunity cost. You guys have finite resources. Is this the right place for you to be spending it? And it just seems like we probably need a better understanding of what you guys think is important, and you guys perhaps need a better understanding of what we think is important in order to make sure that everyone's spending sort of precious time and money in the right places.
I agree. I think that's a very useful input. I would recommend maybe Christine, who's actually developing our operational systems with IT, basically. But she's responsible for deciding on the priorities and the roadmap of the products that we do to drive a discussion with the registries and registrars to see what is the priorities that you would like us to present things with. I think we have a roadmap in the making right now that we're finalizing this. Once that's available, maybe with the engagement team, Christine and her team and you guys, we can actually sit down and make sure that the priorities are in line with what your needs are. So. Any other questions? Very good. Thank you very much, and see you throughout the week. Oh, is there? Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.